MPs have been told they'll be able to vote on whether to approve the UK's final deal on leaving the EU. Brexit Secretary David Davis has been answering questions during a Commons debate today. Some information about the government's exit plan will now be revealed before the formal exit process is triggered. On the line, I've got Dr. Chris Gray. He's Professor of Organisational Studies at Royal Holloway, the University of London. He's speaking at an event at the Plough in Shepworth tonight on the implications on trade in a post-Brexit Britain. He also happens to live in Shepworth as well. Good afternoon, Dr. Gray.
Hi, Julian.
Thanks very much for joining us. To start off with, what have we really learned about the world outside since the June the 23rd vote?
About the world outside, well, we've not sure about so much about that. We've learned a lot, I think, about what the world outside of the EU might be like. But what we don't know at this point is really what it is that Brexit means, because what we've had from the government is a series of sort of hints that people sort of pore over very closely in order to try to work out what they mean, and sometimes it seems to mean one thing and sometimes another. But the core question that remains, you know, uppermost in people's minds is, does leaving the EU mean leaving the single market, what people typically call soft Brexit, or does it mean leaving the single market, what people call hard Brexit?
Yeah? And do you think we've got any clues to any of this? I remember waking up on, I think it was the Saturday morning rather than the Friday, and listening to a report on the radio. I think it was, I was up early, I think it might have been the farming programme or something, and surprise, surprise, farmers in, I think it was the West Country, were demanding that their subsidies remain unchanged. Then a few months later, of course, we got the deal with Nissan cars, and that's before we even know the shape of what's going to be presented.
Well, that's absolutely right. And I mean, at some point, you know, the government are going to have to face up to those differences. And fundamentally, what the choice is whether in hard Brexit you have some, you know, pretty severe economic consequences, or on soft Brexit, some pretty severe political consequences. And that's principally because soft Brexit being in the single market would mean the continuation of free movement of people and the continuation of the jurisdiction of the European Court of Justice. Now, I mean, you mentioned two different things there. I mean, farm subsidies and Nissan. With respect to farm subsidies, actually, soft Brexit versus hard Brexit doesn't really make very much difference, because on soft Brexit, even though we'd be in the single market, we would almost certainly not be in the common agricultural policy. So that's the situation of Norway, for example. They're in the single market, they're not in the EU, they're not in the common agricultural policy. And that means, in terms of farming subsidies, at the moment the government has sort of said that they will guarantee to continue payments up to 2020, the same payments as people would have had regardless of whether we were in the EU or not. Mm. But after that, I mean, farmers will be competing along with many other demands for public money.
It's kind of like a new chairman of the Arts Council to a certain extent, isn't it? One might like paintings and the next one likes sculptures, and everybody has to make their case to him.
That's exactly right. And we also know from the autumn budget statement that partly as a consequence of Brexit, that the fiscal position of the government is, you know, going to be very tight in the coming years. Mm. With respect to Nissan, I mean, clearly some kind of arrangement or deal or suggestion was made to Nissan that you know, persuaded them to continue to invest in the UK. But we don't know what the nature of that deal was. I mean, some of the rumours which are being suggested is that somehow the UK might sort of be aiming for a kind of sector-by-sector deal, you know, whereby perhaps the car industry and perhaps the financial service industry would stay in the single market. It's very, very difficult to see how that would work at a practical level. But as I say, you know, so far as the Nissan deal is concerned, we just simply don't know
I wonder if we could explore the hard Brexit, soft Brexit thing for a moment or two. The vote was reasonably close, 48-52, as some people on their Twitter posts still remind us with the number up there. For years, you know, we've had largely conservative backbenchers protesting about this, that and the other, about the EU. Of course, UKIP joining in as well, in chorus with that. I wonder if we were to go for two harder Brexit, we might simply get not only people on, I don't know which side, they could be potentially from all sides, I suppose, of politics, protesting and being awkward on various things, not to mention members of the public who thought they were, if you like, shortchanged simply because, yes, we've voted to leave the European Union, but it wasn't really a vote on by how much, and many people would argue lots of detail was missed out during the campaign.
Well, I mean, that's exactly the core issue and the crux of the problem, that the vote to leave the EU, you know, wasn't a vote for something, it was a vote against something. So it was never agreed what it was that the following arrangement was going to be. And as you rightly say, I mean, both Parliament and Conservative MPs and the country itself is, you know, I would say is very much split on that. And I mean, that I suppose is one of the reasons why the government is so reticent to say what its plan is, because I suspect, and obviously I don't know this any more than anyone else, but the assumption must be that they are continuing to argue internally amongst themselves with different people in the cabinet and within the government, having different views as between soft and hard Brexit and the different versions that those two things could take. And as soon as it does become specified what it is that the government are aiming for, then clearly, you know, one group within the Tory party and within Parliament is going to be unhappy, and if it's the other decision, then another group will be unhappy. Mm-hmm. And the government has a very small majority, so that also creates, you know, a big political problem.
Now, did you have any sense as to way the Supreme Court might go based on the opinions that have been expressed over the last 3 days?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but my understanding is that most people who are lawyers are of the view that the Supreme Court will uphold the judgment of the High Court. I mean, it's very important. It's not very well understood or very well reported, but I mean, you know, the Supreme Court is not making an adjudication on Brexit. It's not saying anything about whether Britain should leave the European Union or not. That's not a matter for the court, and they have nothing to say about that. It's simply a question of law about whether the government has the right to trigger Article 50 to begin the formal process of leaving the EU, or whether it requires parliamentary approval. Now, that is, you know, typically interpreted as being something to do with soft Brexit. In other words, that, you know, many people think that if there has to be parliamentary approval, it makes soft Brexit more likely, because Parliament will have the opportunity to shape, perhaps in some degree, the form that Brexit takes. Mm-hmm. But actually, people who are very keen on hard Brexit should also have an interest in this case, because of the fact that the government haven't yet said what their plan is. If you take the view, oh, well, the government can just decide and they can announce their plans and Parliament's got nothing to do with this, then it's actually perfectly possible that the government might turn around in a few months' time and say, well, we've looked at all this, and actually we're going to go for a soft Brexit. And I think at that point, the hard Brexiters, who now are saying, oh, it's terrible, this idea that there should be a court case about parliamentary scrutiny, I suspect at that point they would be saying, you know, this is outrageous. The government can't take us to soft Brexit. We want hard Brexit, and Parliament should have a say. Yeah,
it could be interesting. And I dare say that might be one of the topics. You're speaking at Shepworth tonight at the Plough.
That's right, 7:45.
And I guess anybody can. Is it free? Can anybody turn up?
It's free, and anyone can turn up. I believe it's in the upstairs room above the above the pub, but I think people are perfectly welcome to bring a drink up if they want to.
Sounds a very good plan. Might need it after a few more debates about Brexit,
yeah.
I would have thought. Dr. Chris Gray, thank you very much for speaking to 105 Drive tonight.
You're welcome.
And that was, let's say, Dr. Chris Gray. He is, as we mentioned, giving that talk at the Plough in Shepworth tonight. He's with he's Professor of Organisational Studies at the Royal Holloway University of London. News coming up at 5.